Hark! The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the favored one. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And so, as I said, that these songs are grassroots gospel, we also see in here that born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And so many times when I wish somebody a happy birthday, if they are a born-again Christian, I will say, glad you were born and glad you were born again. So they have a second birth, and of course that refers to John chapter 3, where it was Nicodemus who said to Jesus, you're saying that I have to be born again? How can I do that? I can't go back up into my mother and come out a second time. He said, no, we're not talking about a physical birth here. We're talking about a spiritual rebirth. It's also interesting that Jesus entering in and casting out sin. Jesus entering into us, casting out what's in us. So a lot of these things are symbolic, but a lot of these things are actual in the sense that it's a spiritual happening and people are trying to perceive that mentally. How does this happen? You know, how can it be? But then again, and of course the song that says that Mary is the favored one, we remember, and we'll study this next week, about the angel Gabriel appearing to her and telling her, you're going to have a child. So how can I do that? I'm a virgin. But after Jesus was born, we believe, at least some people do, from Scripture, that Mary had other children, not by conception of the Holy Spirit, but by her husband Joseph. And so Jesus had half-brothers and half-sisters. Some don't want to believe that because they don't want to think that Mary just was a regular person. But she was a regular person. And she was, why did God Almighty choose her? We don't know. But in a sense, if God Almighty can choose Mary for no particular reason to serve him in that way, he can choose anybody to serve him in any way that he wants. And I think that's an encouragement. Well, Father, we thank you as we go to you at your throne of grace and studying your word, that we continue to learn day by day the things that you want us to know. We know that the hour is late compared to when Mary did deliver Jesus there in Bethlehem in a stable. But the situation of the world is not a whole lot different now, except by technology. With Jesus and would Mary and Joseph and Jesus unborn at that time be kept out of the inn? Or would there be an inn that would take them now? And the answer might be the same. No, they wouldn't be able to get into an inn. And so being born in the stable, being born in the humble way, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher as always, so we can learn the Word of God the way it's intended to be, as everything we need to know about life and godliness. In your name, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen and amen. And I'm sure all of you know that in Hebrew, Jesus' name is Yeshua. And when we say Yeshua HaMashiach, it means Jesus Christ is Messiah. And so, what is Jesus' name in Greek? It's Jesus. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua. And Yeshua is Joshua, and Joshua is Greek for Yeshua. And Joshua means God is salvation. Now, this is interesting if you track all this, so to speak. It's not to be just head knowledge. It's to understand that Jesus came in fulfillment of prophecy in a perfect way. And, of course, God is salvation, just like we said about the word Emmanuel. God is with us. God came to save us himself. He didn't send somebody to save us. He came himself. And that's important, too, because let's just say that, in a sense, God sent the Ten Commandments to save man, and men didn't follow them. Men were still lost, and men were still corrupt, and no chance to have the power, so to speak, to follow the Ten Commandments. So God said, I'm going to have to go take care of this myself. And so Jesus was born that way in fulfillment of scriptures that we see in Isaiah and Jeremiah and other places, a perfect fulfillment. Well, we've been continuing to study, and this will be our last week on this, the laws of the kingdom. And of course, in studying the laws of the kingdom, hopefully we get to know the King of the kingdom better, and Jesus is that King, obviously. So we've gone through the law of reciprocity, the law of use, the law of perseverance, the law of responsibility, the law of greatness, the law of unity, the law of fidelity, the law of change, the law of miracles, the law of dominion, and now as we're studying the coming King. I can tell you I've been refreshed, in a sense, studying these 10 laws of the kingdom, and I'm not going to say that they're exclusive, that there aren't others as well. Let's just say that in studying these 10, it opens up some others along the way. But I've been refreshed by this, and I hope you have been too, and we have made it available up on the internet each week so that other people can listen and learn from those things too. And I would hope, as we see what's going on in our country and in the world today, it puts even a higher premium on these laws of the kingdom. So this is the second Sunday, and you know I spell Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y, capitalizing sun, so that people understand we're not doing Sunday, S-U-N, like some Roman derivation of the first day of the week being, you know, Sunday in terms of the solar body that's up there. No, it's Sunday, meaning Jesus Day. Of course, every day should be Jesus Day, but it's the first day of the week of the Advent season here, the second Sunday, particularly here in the West, in the Eastern, like in Constantinople, what it was, and Eastern Orthodox, they have a little different calendar they follow. So their Advent season is a little different than ours. But for most Protestant traditions and many Roman Catholic traditions, we're in the second Sunday of Advent. And one of the things that we've talked about here is that the first Advent, in a sense, gives birth to the second Advent. the first advent, basically, in talking about the first advent, also reminds us of the promise of the second advent. And the second advent means the second coming of Christ. And of course, we use the word imminent, that the second coming of Christ is imminent, which, okay, does that mean today? Well, one thing is for sure, the second coming is sooner now than it was at the first advent. So we're going to look at a couple of things, and I'd like to say more or less today's theme, which is a good blessing for us to study and to think about, is the removal of evil. There have been people that have actually been bold enough to use the word sin, to use the word evil, and describe certain events and certain people as being evil. I think it's sort of a Pollyanna idea to say, well, nobody's evil. There's no evil in the world. There's no bad in the world. I think you just have to open the newspaper for front page. You can see, yes, there is evil in the world. Yes, there is sin in the world. But the good news for us is one day the Lord himself will remove that evil, just the way that the Lord said, you know what, people are not getting saved, they're not obeying, I'm going to have to go save them myself. I can't send somebody else, I've got to go do it myself. And that's the birth of Jesus. King come to earth, God come to earth in the form of man. So we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture, but the first one I wanted to look at, it's Revelation 21:1. First person that gets there, go ahead and read that. Revelation 21:1.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more.
Okay. So here we have in the book of Revelation, which contains, as I tell people, it's the book of Revelation, but it contains many revelations. And as I said last week, I believe it was, in the Greek, this is the book called Apocalyptus. And Apocalyptus, where we get the word apocalypse from, basically most people misinterpret that, and they think the apocalypse is something, it's a disaster and we can't understand it. But actually, apocalyptos in the Greek means the clearing up. And so the clearing up is, this is included in the Scripture, so that many things that we do not understand or have not yet understood will be cleared up. But we also have to remember that Jesus himself will return in that second advent, and lots of the problems we're facing today, he will be clearing them up. And one of those things is the removal of evil. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And as we study these things, I hope that you're encouraged, particularly when you say, well, there are things that doesn't appear that man can do, but God can do what man cannot do. So Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Who would like to read that? 24 to 43. That's quite a few verses there.
I'll read that.
Okay, Matthew 13, beginning at 24.
English Standard Version. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. You put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the fields. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Mrs. Lear. There's a lot there to consider. Certainly, as we look around and see that, you know, a parable about gardening, about farming. You planted good seed, how come weeds popped up? Well, in this particular case, in God gave us a good creation, and yet weeds popped up, and there's going to be an end of the age, a time coming, and who is going to do this work? I want to point out, of all things there, the seed is the Son of God. That's good seed. He said, of course, the bad seed, and there are people who are the sons of the wicked one, people that have chosen to follow the devil. It was interesting, we were going through Quincy yesterday on our way back home, and we saw lots of places in there. There's a lot of Asian people and Hispanic people and whatever. There were tarot card readers, and there were fortune tellers and so forth and so on. They are not part of the sons of God. They are part of the sons of the wicked one. And they're, though many people say, oh, it's just a game, you know, whatever. No, it's not a game. I mean, the Lord has prohibited all that kind of stuff. And yet there are many people, instead of inquiring of the Lord, going to Scripture, looking for what the Lord has to say about it, they're going to a tarot card reader, getting ripped off, you know, or going to a psychic reader, and there's quite a bit of that, you know, big signs and blinking signs and right along the road and everything, and a fairly prominent business district, which means to me that enough people are going there and paying that they can afford the rent, see? So you can see in amongst it, that's sowing the tares in amongst the harvest. But the time will come when the Lord will take care of this, and this is important for us to remember, and he's going to send his angels to do it. Now, let's say, why would he send his angels to do it? Angels, when they're sent by the Lord, never fail to do what they've been told to do. We as people quite often fail to do what we've been told to do. But the angels cannot fail the Lord. There was a time, because Satan himself was a Lucifer, an archangel who was cast out of heaven, and with him fell a third of the angels of heaven. But since then, the angels, their
commitment. Some are committed to Satan, some are committed to the Lord, but two-thirds of the angels committed to faithful service to the Lord, never to divert from it. So it's like saying, okay, you really want to send your best troops in to get it done. You know, these are people that do it by the book. And that's what the Lord is going to do. And I'd venture to say, with the things that we're seeing going on in the world today, it could be very soon. And so what we're talking about here is the ultimate and eternal kingdom that's coming. It's not here yet. Now, if we look at those scriptures again in different ways, I open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Who understands these parables? Who understands what the Lord is saying here? And in verse 43, the last scripture we just read, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Some people are hearing what the Lord is saying, and some people aren't. Some people want to hear what the Lord is saying, and some people don't. And so the ones who want to, the Lord is speaking to them and showing them. And we're going to see more and more of this in the confusion and the cacophony of sounds and the discordance that we find in our society right now. How much more important it is to hear from the Lord. Now, as we have just read this passage of Scripture, we see also that the Lord is planning to remove everything that's offensive, will be removed from the kingdom of God, and not by men, or by the church, or by military might, but by angels. And all that will be left are the sons of the kingdom. And by the way, that's not gender specific. Whenever it says the sons of the kingdom and so forth, that means mankind, which both genders, right? Living in the light of the Lord, living in the ultimate reality and protection. And if we look, for example, at Matthew 13:49, so it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just. Well, I can tell you from my point of view, I hope and pray and believe that I will be part of the group that will be separated and be the just. And not of my own doing, but because I have trusted and followed Christ and believed that I belong to Him. And so the angels will do that separating. Now, that's important too, because if the angels are on assignment from the Lord and they don't break their assignment, anyone that's ever seen an angel or any angelic happening, most of the angels that have ever been viewed have been very scary, you know, just like the shepherds that saw the angels and they were afraid. Why were they afraid of the angels that they saw? Because the angels, I guess, are pretty scary looking because maybe they're big and because they're very direct. They're on assignment. No turning to the right or left. I'm here to get the job done. We're going to do it. And then we're out of here. Very efficient, we might say. Why would the Lord send the angels to do that? Because if He sent men to do that, we're so often bribed. We're so often sympathetic and don't make the right decision because we're not basing it on the right things. That happens to people. But with the angels, and so He sends those angels to do this, and we know that that's going to be because He's given this in His Word. If we also, right now, at this moment, in our minds, it's pretty hard to conceive the world that God has created for us. But think about this, back to the Garden of Eden. He created a beautiful place and created us for perfection in it. And we still had freedom of choice, and we made the wrong choice there. I shouldn't say we, but mankind, Adam and Eve, made the wrong choice there. And for now, century after century, problems have come along. But that's about to be resolved. And I guess in simplicity, just say that what God intended in his first creation, now in his recreation, will come to pass. And so in our minds at this moment, it's hard to conceive of a world like that, where there's going to be no pride, no greed, no fear, no crime, no war, no disease, no hunger, no shortages. Now, all those things I just described to you, on any day of the week, all those things are happening somewhere across this globe. But the day will come after the second coming of Christ, and all these things that we're talking about, well, all that will be gone. And one of the things that will be happening, of course, you can look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Sean, why don't you read this? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, read from 22 to 28. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 to
28.
22 to 28.
I'm reading from the New National Version,
English Standard
Version. Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall all be made alive. We had a verse like that in school. But each in his own order: Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must resign until he had put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he accepted to put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, to put all things in subjection, or subjection, under him, that God may be all in all.
Okay, I know that's not the easiest passage of Scripture to read. It's certainly not the easiest to understand. But the point is here, and some of you may have a copy of Scripture where they put stars on every one of the verses there, all the way through verse 28. So it'll be five stars, you know, like the rating of a really good hotel, five-star hotel. And the reason why those stars are there is because this is talking about what some people call, in the terminology of eschatology, end times discussion. But the thing that I certainly take away from it is the fact is that this day is coming, and that God himself puts an end to all the rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So all the things that have been enemies and all the people that have been enemies are under the Lord's feet. And then verse 26, think about this for a minute. The last enemy that there will be destroyed is death. How does the Lord destroy death? Anybody? There's a one-word answer to this question. Okay, that's true. But there's a one-word answer to this. How does he destroy death? How did Jesus overcome death in the grave?
Reincarnation.
Resurrection.
Reincarnation is not true, resurrection is. And by resurrection.
Reincarnation, like born again, doesn't have.
Yeah.
You meant resurrection.
Oh, yeah.
He meant resurrection.
Of course he did. He goes to Christian school. Of course he meant resurrection. But a lot of people talk about that, reincarnation and so forth. Karma samsara and reincarnation, the Buddhist and the Hindu philosophy. Which means, okay, you're born, you die, you're born again, you die, you're born again, you just continue to keep coming back till you get it right. In the meanwhile, if you didn't have good karma in one of those lifetimes, you might come back as a rat. You might come back as a cricket. You might come back as a cockroach.
I always wondered, how does a cricket generate good karma to move up to the next level? You know, I can understand how a human would have bad karma or good karma, you know, if it, but a cricket...
That's a good question.
You're stuck in cricket mode forever?
Well, I think...
Sacrifice yourself to a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, either that or you get eaten by something and...
Right. That's your order of things.
Yeah, that's your contribution.
Right,
you've provided food for something and now you become that.
Yeah.
Well, see, when we talk about that, we're all smiling about it because as Christians, we know that's utter foolishness, especially as you compare it to the biblical truth. Jesus overcame death by resurrection. And the thing that's been very hard for a lot of people is saying, well, what happens to all those people who believed in the Lord, followed the Lord, and they're dead? They're buried. Well, Jesus will resurrect them. You know, and when he comes again, he will resurrect them into the newness of life. And, of course, these are hard concepts to think about intellectually because we think in terms of what we can do as people. You know, of course, Keith has resurrected a lot of old stuff, you know, by grinding it and welding it and so forth and so on. So we can believe in the resurrection of old vehicles and stuff like that. But this is an amazing happening that the Lord will do. And, of course, as that happens, that becomes closer to the new heaven and the new earth that the Lord has promised. If we look at Ephesians chapter 1, go there to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, a couple of verses there, verses 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10 from the King James. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now you hear the word dispensation used sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. Dispensation is a certain provision. You can define it that way. But the thing that is so touching to me is in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Having made known to us. Now, who's the us that he's made known in his will? His born-again believers, those that are part of the kingdom of God, those that are following the laws of the kingdom, we will know his will, but other people won't. The ones outside the kingdom, and there are some, we can say we're all created of God, but not everybody are the sons of God. That is a choice we make, and a choice that's been, we've been helped with by the Lord, but not everyone's made that choice. So we're all created by God, no matter who they are, a bum in the gutter, any of the people following false doctrine and false religion, God created them. He didn't create them to do what they're doing, but he did create them. But the sons of God are going to know, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He doesn't have to do it. He wants to do it. Just the same as we with our own earthly children and family like to reveal things to them because we love them. We don't have to. We do because we want to. He doesn't have to do anything for us, but he wants to. And thankfully, he does. So there's going to be a final shaking. And we see that both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So we can expect that final shaking to come. Now, the question for us today, and for everyone everywhere, what will men do in light of these biblical truths and insights? Will they put them to work while there's still time? And it's not too late. It's late, but it's not too late. It's late, but it's not too late. And so if we look at Hebrews, you turn there. Rich, why don't you go ahead and read Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 29.
Hebrews 12 from English Standard Version, verses 5 through 29.
No, 25.
Oh, I'm sorry, 25 through 29. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At the time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Every time there's an earthquake, we might rightfully think, is this that shaking that the Lord has said? Every time there's a hurricane or whatever, yesterday when we were down there around Hull and along the shore and everything, what do these people do? I mean, if there's a real hurricane, and some of them, like in Plymouth, outside Plymouth Harbor, there's an outside area there where they're direct ocean. I mean, if there's a hurricane or whatever, those houses, they're going. And so there have been warnings of a sort, and some people would look at hurricanes or look at earthquakes as a warning of what's coming. And that is going to come, where the Lord is going to shake heaven and earth, and the things that are not of him are going to fall. And I'm not talking about just structures like buildings and so forth and so on. Whatever things that people are believing in that are not right and true, that's going to fall. And the people that are going to be uplifted are the people that have trusted the Lord and implemented these laws of the kingdom along the way. And there are a lot of things. I mean, I, this past week, have had some doing a little remembrance. And of course, I get things from schools that I went to and people that have succeeded in different things, and sometimes I think to myself, well, gee, I'm not very successful compared to a lot of my classmates or whatever else, you know, and this is the enemy trying to make me feel uncomfortable with the way that I've lived, when in fact, why have I lived the way that I've lived? Because I believe in the laws of the kingdom. I use those laws, and it's interesting how many places that I've gone and said to people, and you know that I don't believe, I'm not worshiping a tree, and I'm not worshiping, I mean, whether Jesus was born December 25th or not, I'm not sure. I just know he was born, and I'm worshiping him, and I'm celebrating his birth whenever that is, and here we have an opportunity this time of year, because some people do believe, you know, that Jesus was born December 25th, and I'm going places and talking to toll takers, has anyone wished you a Merry Christmas? Well, no. Well, let me be your first. And so far, we have not had one person be upset with that. Mm. We've had many people very thankful for that. Kathy had an opportunity this week, and she was in a store, and she started a dialogue, and everybody was excited about it, and they were talking about what's going on with Muslims and whatever else, because, you know, that's pretty much on everybody's thinking these days. But the Lord is going to come again, and he will set all things in order. Yes, he is shaking things, but he also gives us the great encouragement, And once again, it's not too late to use these laws of the kingdom. And I do challenge all of you, as I've challenged myself and everywhere, use these laws in your life. Use these principles and see how the Lord opens many a door. We were going through the toll the other day, and as I'm sitting there saying to the fellow there, who's wearing a Marine hat, has anyone said Merry Christmas? Well, no. Well, Merry Christmas. And he said, I went to pay him the toll. He said, no, the guy in front of you just paid the toll. See? And I don't know who that was. We drove by the car later, and I looked, and I didn't recognize the person. So there are things that are going on that the Lord is doing that no power of hell or darkness can stop. We need to have that encouragement. This one final verse, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12 at verse 32. Keith, why don't you go ahead and read that? Luke chapter 12 at verse 32.
The men of Nineveh?
No, Luke chapter 12, verse 32.
Oh, then. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
I hope that all of you find that encouraging. I do. First of all, do not fear, and the King James says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. First of all, do not fear. So if we're walking in fear, and we know that 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if we're walking in fear, now momentary doubts, and we all have that, that's part of human life. But if you're walking in fear, you're not walking as the Lord wants, because he's given you power, love, and a sound mind. It's also, why is it little flock? Do not fear, huge flock. Why is it little flock? And I can only think that it's little flock because it does not mean everybody in the world. There are going to be some people that are not going to join in. They're not going to come to the Lord, and they'll be lost. And it's your Father's good pleasure. And whenever I do this because it's my pleasure. I don't have to. The Lord does not have to do this. He does it to give us the kingdom. And so we're talking about the laws of the kingdom that we can use now and see changes now. Not the ultimate changes that the Lord is going to bring, but there'll be changes in our daily life and be able to help even now. And these are precious promises and keys, so to speak, that the Lord's given us. Because he loves us. And he wants us to have those. Well, Father, we thank you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to use these laws that we have learned and help others to learn them, and recognizing that there are quite challenging times that we live in, but it's not a challenge to you. It's part of biblical prophecy. These things are here in Scripture that we can point out to other people and say they don't believe the Word of God, they don't believe the Bible. Well, then they don't. But we do. And so we can live our lives in the way that you want us to. And we thank you and we praise you. And give us great opportunity at this time of the year where many people are in distress, many people are stressed, many people are participating in the worldly way. We know that's not what you want. Not to say the giving of gifts is a bad thing. It's always nice to be able to exchange gifts and help people. But Lord, to keep concentrated on what you're doing at this Christmas time of year, this Advent season, is closer than last year to your second coming. And we thank you for that. We praise you for it, Jesus. Amen and amen. We'll have no other king but King Jesus.